Hey, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Baseless Speculation, a based rewind.
Ah!
I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
And I'm Joel.
Now, you might notice something a little bit different if you're watching this
something
on
a little
YouTube.
Holly jolly.
Yeah.
You know?
You might notice a couple of some nice little sparkly douchey you can barely see.
Hello.
It's because, well, it's December.
Yeah.
It's the silly season.
It's the silly season.
It's the 31st of December.
It's the 31st of December. Once again.
Yes.
It's when did we film this?
You'll never tell. It's 2028.
We filmed it on Christmas Day 2028. And we've sent it back into the past
for
you.
The 31st of December, Christmas Day in 2028. They changed the date.
Yeah. But obviously, as the silly season rolls around, we need to take some fucking time off. Okay. And so what we've decided to do is a couple of based rewinds, okay?
Yeah.
A couple of based rewinds. Each one of us, in the spirit of the season, picked a holiday movie, a Christmas movie, or a TV show that we loved dearly, and we shared it with each other. You know, on top of that, with you. Okay?
Whoa.
So today, Boyd, what did we think of Jackson's favorite Christmas movie? I'll Be Home for Christmas.
No, I've been singing the praises of I'll Be Home for Christmas for many a year.
I know.
I first saw this movie in primary school on a TV wheeled out in, I want to say, February to entertain us for a goddamn hour.
As is the way.
For reasons, I don't know what class it was. I could not tell you.
Yeah.
But they wheeled it out and I watched and I thought, that was good stuff. And then when I was in my early 20s, I watched it again. And I was like, you know what? 12-year-old me was right. This is a good movie.
Yeah, I remember.
And then it became a Christmas classic for me and my brother.
Yeah. I've watched it a few times in the past, and again, it's just it's a nice little
it's
watch.
It's lovely.
It's a lovely little Christmas movie.
Yeah, exactly.
That I'm going to be like, you know, I just don't make them like they used
don't,
to.
Yeah.
But they might. It's just that I don't.
I'm not watching them.
Look, I don't want to start things on the back foot, but I did think this was a dog shit movie for idiots.
Okay.
I think that's okay. I watched it with my wife, and she shares your opinion.
I thought that it was. I think I saw through the movie too much, if that makes sense. When I was watching it, I was like, okay, they've tried to make Christmas Ferris Bueller, but they also haven't written this properly. So it's just a scumbag kid is a scumbag.
Yeah, that's what I love about
it. No, what you love about it is it's actually a Christmas movie that for some reason starts as a survival movie.
You love
the idea. This is like your dream situation for Christmas.
It is.
If I said, hey, Jackson, we got you a Christmas present, we're going to kidnap you Christmas Eve, and then you're just going to wake up in the middle of
Christmas Eve?
Yeah.
How will I get home for Christmas if it's on Christmas Eve?
JD.
It's going to be like 3 days
prior.
Don't
say I have the perfect Christmas gift for you.
Yeah.
We rock up December 20th wearing masks and we kidnap you.
You break into my home. Exactly. While I'm asleep. One of you punches me multiple times in the face, breaks my nose.
Yeah, we say Merry Christmas.
you go,
what's happening? Wait, is that my good friend?
That sounds like the Joels.
That sounds like the Joels.
No.
The Joels have decided to finally take me out.
Yeah.
Then you put me in a sack and dump me in somewhere in far north Queensland.
I feel like that
I'm living my greatest dream ever.
Yeah, I feel like that being glued in the Santa suit is also would be part of the appeal for you, so we're going to make sure we do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's basically just like a rich kid fucks around.
Yeah.
Nothing interesting happens at the end.
Yeah, dude. So the premise of I'll Be Home for Christmas.
Yeah, you talk me through it. I won't let my No. I know I've just gone through. I just got that off my chest.
Yeah, okay.
So, like, we're going to go through these and the events that it happens and stuff. And you now know that I didn't have a good time. I found it quite boring.
Yeah,
but
fair enough.
That will not impact me doing a podcast about it. It is your favorite Christmas movie.
You can have it. I completely understand not liking this movie. But I think it's I don't know, something about it is just so lazy and funny to me that I love it. Well, so Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Yeah. He was electric in it.
He's electric in it. You can't deny it, dude.
He also looks exactly like Tim Allen, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Good he's casting from Home Alone, and like, Home Improvement.
Yeah. I understand, like, with, like, actors, they are often, you know, like, about four apples, like, tall. Like,
yeah.
And he is a short man.
He's little. He's a short
man. And
kid.
I understand why, you know, with Tom Cruise, say, who is also a very short man,
yeah.
While they film him in certain ways, either not next to somebody, or like on a box, and I'm like, I get it, JTT next to a lot of people,
he's
I'm like,
minuscule.
Who is this child?
He is a mini man.
Well, do you know how tall he is?
No,
and this is on the internet, so this is probably slightly exaggerated. Yeah. Up, he's 5'6".
Oh, that's awesome. How old is he? And I'll be home for Christmas.
He's meant to be
like 20, 19,
they're away in college, so I don't know what that is in the States, but I was assuming 18, 19.
Yeah, 18, 19.
I don't know when they, you know, leave for college that
I don't
experience.
Understand America.
So it was originally pitched as a 20-something actor, but then Disney rewrote it as a Ferris Bueller-type prep school upperclassman. Why'd they do that? Anyway, I guess it makes sense, because, like, if this wasn't a kid's movie, it would be a no movie.
Yeah.
They could have made it a little bit more being a bit of a harder gold at the start, I guess. Because he's a sack of shit mostly all the way through. There are those moments where he's like, oh, no, this is the right thing to do.
Yeah, but you can tell he's pissed off about it.
Which is kind of nice. Although I don't know if he's that pissed off about it.
Well, I guess he's annoyed because it impacts his journey home. He's like, I got to give the money from the run.
I'm jumping in
the
mirror.
But anyway, so Jonathan Taylor Thomas is a scumbag, early 20s, late teens at college in California. And he loves to, he's got a million schemes going on, right? He's always like giving people test answers or like getting tickets to shit. He's very rich as well. And his girlfriend, he comes up to her and he says, hey, for Christmas, let's go down to Florida, baby. The sand, the sea, the surf. And she goes, what are you talking about? I'm going to go back to see my family. And he goes, but I got us two tickets.
I got us two tickets
to Cabo.
To
Cabo, Florida.
Come on, Jessica Biel.
Cabo, Florida, which...
Yeah.
Cabo, Florida is in California? That's funny, Jackson. Not in Florida.
Damn.
Yeah.
For some reason I thought it was in Florida. But that makes sense, I guess. Because I was like, they're already in California. Why does he need plane tickets, dude?
There's multiple times where they're taking flights in this movie that seem to last for 20 minutes.
Yeah. So anyway, but then he calls, she's like, I'm not doing that. So he calls his dad, or his dad calls him, and his dad's like, you're going to be home for Christmas, Jonathan Taylor Thomas. And he goes, Dad, I hate your new wife. I don't want to come home for Christmas. That's lame.
I mean, in JTT's defense here, his dad did marry the stepmom, like, what, 10 months after?
Yeah. Pretty quick.
Mom died.
Pretty quick.
Which, like, look. Give it a year.
Yeah, maybe he hated the dad mom. We don't know. Anyway, JTT is like, I'm not going to do it. But then his dad says, hey, what if? And I think it's so funny how much JTT has ruined this family.
Yeah.
Like, his dad is like so depressed that his son won't come home for Christmas. And so his dad bribes him and says, if you get home for Christmas Eve, 6 p.m., I'll give you the Porsche, which is a Porsche, 1958 Porsche or whatever that they've been doing up for years.
Yeah.
JTT's like, fuck.
Beautiful.
Changes the tickets.
Red.
Goes to his girlfriend, goes to Jessica Biel and says, hey, guess what? You're right. You got through to me. We'll spend Christmas together at my place. Mm-hmm. She goes, that's lovely. I'll see you in the morning. Let's go. But then the greatest character in all of film, the Ed Man, JTT's rival?
Mm-hmm.
Some frenemy? Stupid guy he knows. ruins one of his schemes. And so the jocks and the Ed Man, they glue him in a Santa suit, beat the shit out of him, I have to assume, and dump him in the middle of the California desert.
It's hot.
It's hot.
He's in a Santa suit.
He's in a Santa suit.
And beard
and hat, and it's all glued to him.
Yeah. Mm.
And now, oh, fuck my ass, Jonathan Taylor Thomas has got to get back home for Christmas.
Is living Jackson Bailey's dream.
Mm. Yeah, it's...
And he meets a wonderful cast of characters.
Oh, and it's very... And every time, you know, he's with them for a little bit as he moves across America, but then something goes wrong, and he's got to do a good deed here or there. He's got to give little kids DVD players and shit, or turbo mixes and stuff. Oh, dude.
He's doing, he's like, because he's such a, he's a people person.
Yeah.
He says the one thing he's so good at is just being able to manipulate and gaslight a situation at any step of the way.
Yeah.
I think one really awesome thing about Jake in this movie, which is JTT's character's name, is he doesn't really seem to give a shit about anything that happens to him in this movie.
No, not really. Yeah. I mean, like, he wants to get home for Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he wants that the Porsche.
But he wants the Porsche.
Like, if something goes wrong, he's not like, oh, fuck. He's just like, nah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, like,
he rolls with the punches, and then, but it's weird, because he also has his weird, wonderful empathy.
Yes, yeah,
but then he also, it's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
When's like, the empathy? Well, the money?
Kinda, well, there's the money thing. It's the kind of like, okay, I'm going to lie to this cop. And be like, oh, I'm taking, like, you know, I'm going to the this the next town over. I'm going to get, oh, I'm in the Santa suit. I'm delivering.
Yeah, well, at
presents.
One point he gets picked up by a guy that nearly runs him over, and they're in a van together. And then the cops pull them over because they're speeding after his girlfriend, who is also heading home, but with the Ed Man at this point. Big betrayal for JTT.
Yeah, because Jessica Biel's like, you didn't show up.
You didn't show up, but the Ed Man's there.
Ed Man knows.
And he's like, get in the car, dude. I'll take you. I'll take you home. And that, but he sees them. They're in the car with the, in the van, they're chasing down his girlfriend. The cops pull him over. Oh no, the van's full of stolen goods. But JTT, thinking ahead, he says, it's actually presents that we're bringing to a children's hospital.
Yeah.
They do that.
There's no empathy there. It's just another scheme.
It's a scheme there. And then it's like, well, the cop is like, okay, he leaves. And he's like, actually, wait, look, I get off in like 10. I'll drive you there. And it's just like, okay, well, I guess I'm following through with it. It's very much a, you know, by
the skin
of his teeth.
No, I see it as like, he's giving away stolen goods that he didn't even steal.
Yeah.
It's not like any...
He doesn't care. He just wants to get home for Christmas.
I know.
The only time...
Yeah, that fucks over only Nolan, and JTT's like, I don't give a shit. I don't fuck this guy.
Again, maybe you're right. You're right. Just like, you know, he follows through with it, and he does the whole performance of it all.
Yes, that's true.
He's there with the kids.
To avoid prison.
To avoid prison, yes.
I think
to avoid prison. To avoid like a weird, I guess a speeding ticket. That's
Yeah. The only time, there's two times where he shows empathy.
Nice,
there is when it, like, because, like, obviously at the end when he arrives home, he's in a sleigh for various reasons. He sees his family there. He picks up Jessica Biel because they live in the same town, I guess. And then he's arrived. He's got time. It's 5:59 or whatever. And Jessica's like, oh, you go in. And he's like, let's wait. But you don't see the moment, and then he goes in later, and he's like, oh, I'm actually just home to see my family, whom I love.
Yeah.
But there's no turning point.
No.
There's no point where he goes...
I get the giving the money for the mayor for those turkeys or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, that's a little bit of a turning point.
I read that scene like... Because the guy's like, I know who you are, and I know you've got the money, and the mayor used to get that money, and he used to do good with it.
Yeah.
It's like, a bit of empathy, but at the same time, because I thought what that scene was going to turn into was like another situation where the cab driver's like, give me that money. Fuck you.
Yeah. But how does that translate to like, family is the most important thing?
No, because he doesn't even learn that. He learns I want to have a girlfriend, I got to put her first.
That's what
I love,
dude.
He doesn't even put his family first.
Any movie, especially from the 90s and the 80s, where an unrepentant sociopath wins for no reason.
Well, he sees his girlfriend kissing his rival on TV and he's just like,
come on.
Time to go into that particular... Oh, yeah, time to make up a lie about organ donation. Piece of shit.
Time to put out a whole bus full of people to go to Edelbrook so that I can yell at my girlfriend and the Ed Man.
And then expose his penis so he hangs dong in this children's movie.
One of my favorite parts of this movie is when... So he confronts his girlfriend and the Ed Man, who they kissed under some mistletoe, which got on TV. He confronts them... And in his confrontation, he accidentally reveals to Jessica Biel that the only reason he wants to get home for Christmas is the Porsche.
Yes.
It's actually got nothing to do with her.
Nah.
So she leaves, and it's just the Ed Man and Jake. Mm. And they've got to drive home together. Mm-hmm. And you go, oh, that's a funny turn of events. These rivals, they're now being boys in the car.
Yeah.
And in the car, the Edman's like, oh, he's going to get a Porsche. That's sick. And JTT is like, yeah, dude, it's going to be awesome. I'm going to be the coolest guy in school. And the Edman's like, actually, no, I'm going to pull over. Sorry, man. I was just thinking about that. I just don't think I could let that happen. Fuck you. I think that's an awesome scene. I think that's really funny.
I guess empathy is the wrong word. I guess I'm trying to say it's... It's a weird personality that Jake has.
It's kind of like good deeds.
Like,
great, yeah, but
like the good deeds
only to benefit himself.
I wouldn't say there's anything altruistic in what he does.
But I guess the giving, like, again, doing the whole giving kids like
thermomixes. It's thermomixes, not stolen toys
and stuff like that.
It's stolen kitchen
funny,
appliances.
But you're right, that's just like, you know, he's following through his scheme.
Yeah.
They're giving the money so that the mayor can then
I think that's the only good thing he does.
That is a good thing. It's a good deed he does. And he doesn't have to do that because the only person that really knows he doesn't know this town. He doesn't give a shit. He could just like leave. And that's where it's just like, okay. And there's that sliver of like, well, I guess that's where they're trying to be like, he's a good guy.
Yeah, yeah.
But then he lets a dog loose at an airport. Steals a slave.
Steals a horse. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Lets his sister, I guess they're from a rich family, so who cares? But sister buys all this stuff for a plane ticket. He doesn't get on the plane.
No.
That's money in the toilet.
Well, like he tried to get on the He had no idea.
Yeah.
She makes a big speech about how it's 4 years worth of pocket money. Down the toilet.
I wonder what that amounts to. 1998, a ticket from, I mean, I don't know where
California to California.
California, last minute Christmas Eve. Seems like, that'd be maybe a little bit spent.
It'd be a significant amount of money.
But also, they, like, very rich family.
Oh, wait, family live in New York. He's coming from California.
Yeah, yeah. He's like close to, he might be in Nebraska at that point. I don't know. But yeah, it's a classic 90s rich family, like Kevin McAllister's got like Christmas movies.
Like suburbs in the, you know, like a mansion in the suburbs somewhere.
You don't make Christmas movies about the poor.
I mean, they do.
Name one. Name one classic Christmas movie
isn't
about
a
the
Christmas,
poor.
Not a Christmas Carol. The fucking the suicide one.
Yeah, I was about to say the suicide one.
A Little
one.
Match Girl.
Oh, that also, but
Little Match Girl is about the poor.
I was thinking Little Match Girl, but yes,
the
but there's that
big,
one.
Famous old one.
Like
what's it called?
Yes.
Fucking
what?
Is it A Fortunate Life or like that?
It's A Wonderful Life. Yeah. Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's true.
There's Working Class.
I feel like Miracle on 34th Street might also be Working Class.
Is that the one where the kid shoots himself in the eye? What's that one? He gets a gun for Christmas.
That's also kind of like Scrooge, right? Which is, you know, it's like kind of like it's like he's not the poor, he's the wealthy. It's a weird thing because like my issue with like Scrooge, how he's often seen as the biggest cunt in all of Christmas, and someone's like, hey, can I take Christmas Eve off? And he's breaking their balls for a bit, and then he's like, yeah, all right, though, you could have it off.
Yeah, take it off.
It's just like, I don't know. It's a weird thing where you're right. It's just this weird like, you know, hey, at the end of the day, yes, he does a nice thing. But because he was a bit of a cunt about it.
Yeah.
Piece of shit.
Absolutely. You got to do it nicely. If you're going to do a nice thing, you got to do it nicely.
But Jake here, he does like nice things and he does it in a nice-ish way. Like he does the charm, but you can tell he's being a cunt about it.
Yeah, exactly. Like I don't think it takes up until, like I said, there's no moment where he goes, you know what? I think it's only the only moment where it really happens where his turning point morally is when every plan he's had has fallen through.
Yeah.
So it's not like he...
Yeah, but then the moment he walks home to his family, he then also hits every single bit. Like, he manipulates them immediately.
It's like, awesome. Hey. Immediately.
Yeah, no, again.
Oh, I know. He's a wonderful little gaslighter.
I know why you like this movie.
Yeah, dude.
Like, the opening...
It's just
like,
an evil kid. Yeah.
The moment we meet this guy, like, the very moment we meet him, he's trying to, like, see Jessica Biel, but the roommate is blocking his path, so he's like, I've got you a very particular snack you like.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's just like, it's just, on one side, you're like, oh, hey, he knows these people so well that he's, you know, using his either connections or using his money, he's using his influence, whatever, blah, 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 blah. But he knows this person so well that he knows her, like his girlfriend's roommate's favorite snack.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's actually a nice thing. But he's only doing it so he can access to
Jessica Biel. If there was no Jessica Biel that he required access to, he would never give her roommate snacks.
He's like... The stereotypical everything is a transaction guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a dark triangle textbook.
Yeah.
It's
Is it sad you could never be JTT in this only because you don't pay enough attention?
Yeah. Oh, I'd make a terrible JTT, dude. If it was me, you'd be in the Santa suit and then it would be a flash forward 1 week and it would be Bones.
That vulture that he meets straight away would be your first and only hurdle that
I failed to cross. I go, hey, oh, buddy. A vulture, that's sustenance. Yeah. And then I leap at it as it scratches my eyes out or whatever.
Yeah. And now you're blind in the desert being like, fuck, vulture, come closer. I'm going to eat you.
Then it gets your other eye.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
Oh, just like Odin, I guess.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to
go. Now the vultures will be my eye.
Yeah.
And I walk
That's
into
how that
cactus.
Story goes. Molland and... what were those vultures' names?
I spent too long thinking about that and become bones in the desert.
Yeah, yeah.
To be found later by an archaeologist who pisses on them.
Yeah.
a terrible archaeologist. An archaeologist that's real
I
bad
found bones,
at his
but
job.
I need to piss on them.
An archaeologist really only got into the profession to desecrate corpses.
Yeah.
I bet this is someone special. It's also funny to imagine
they
them.
Check the pissy bones. Like, oh, it wasn't anyone special.
Yeah. I won't tell anyone I found these.
Yeah, not worth
it. I also don't care if they're from a crime.
Yeah.
Time to rebury it.
I'm the coolest archaeologist. I'm just like Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Penis still out in my mind.
Yeah.
Dripping a little bit of piss.
Yeah.
And then they turn around back to the dig site.
Yeah.
It's, penis out
really
archaeologist.
Nice.
That's
really
a good
nice
character.
Guy.
Yeah, I like that guy.
I like him. he knows what he wants.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
No, Jake is a sociopath to the highest degree.
I think it's just,
it's a wonderful little thing. You could be like, oh, he's doing some nice thing. Oh,
I think that's what I love about it. I think I love a 90s Christmas movie that, again, it's like the laziness of it takes up until the marathon before they go, oh fuck! We gotta redeem him in some way.
Yeah, we gotta
and then it's not even a relevant redemption.
No,
they're not like he needs to realize that
he's constantly giving stuff away to get what he wants.
Yeah, but even in this case where
is it the cop as well who's like basically separated from his
missus
because he's a dirtbag.
Yeah, he
dirty
makes
dog.
This cop that made out with somebody else at a bar but then because the cop will buy JTT a bus ticket out of there. JTT dedicates so much time to try to get him back with his wife. It won't be a happy relationship.
No!
He's a bad guy.
But JTT doesn't care.
He doesn't give a fuck.
He doesn't
give
a shit.
He's awesome. But
he doesn't give a fuck about Christmas. He just wants the Porsche.
Yeah, exactly, dude.
And then he realizes maybe that Porsche is going to be that roadblock for him getting, Jessica Biel. So he's like, well, I need to turn a dime here.
Because you also got to remember.
Like, if I broke up at 6:01, a deal's a deal.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
And that'll make, I'll look like a good guy to Jessica Biel. The dad is like, whatever, you're a minute late, who cares?
Yeah, the dad who is like,
I just missed my son.
The dad who's like on the verge of killing himself because his son won't come home for Christmas.
Yeah.
He's so sad.
I know. That
it's
moment,
so funny.
He's there by the fireplace
like
15 minutes
fucking
ago.
Son
he's so
did
sad.
It.
Then they see through the window, he's like, let's just watch my family. And I'm like, your dad is about to break down, Jake.
Get in there.
Help him out. He's going to like, oh man, he's hanging on by a thread, and that thread is fraying.
I think you can really see how much he's ruined his family in that first scene after his dad promises him the Porsche, and then it's the dad and his new wife, and his new wife's like, really? He won't come home for Christmas, and you're rewarding him? And he's like, I know, but he might be coming home for Christmas. That's not enough, Mr. JTT.
Yeah, it's even so awesome. the Porsche thing, like, oh, he doesn't get the Porsche. You can see that he's sowing the seeds.
Oh, yeah.
He'll get the Porsche.
He'll get
next
the Porsche.
Christmas, it's the Porsche's
It is, so many Christmas movies, you want, if your Christmas movie involves, a moral redemption, you want to think, with Scrooge, with A Christmas Carol, at the end of that, you go, he's changed his ways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think he did.
No.
He's gone back to scheming.
All he knows is I gotta be better at scheming.
Yeah.
That's it.
And I don't think when next Christmas rolls around, JTT is coming home again.
No.
Because there's no reward. What would be the point?
Well, there is a reward there just to put in those groundworks because he knows that, if all it takes is me going back home to my family, Jessica Biel, that I'm putting more effort into that now,
also,
and then I'll get that Porsche.
She might be around.
She might not be around.
Because at the start of the movie, it seems like all he wants to do is sleep with her.
Yeah.
It's like the classic.
Yeah.
It's like the classic movie trope where it's like, they're in their relationship where he's like, please, let's just have sex.
Just show me a titty. Yeah. Come on.
Because that's also like why he kind of sneaks into a room. Not to bone her because that's fucked up, but to like, Because he
sneaks in and lies down next to her while she's asleep. And when she opens her eyes, he's like, you always said you wanted to see what it would be like to wake up next to me. Mm-hmm. Right? Boning. Mm-hmm. This movie has a lot of boning references for a movie aimed at kids.
I would say
this is definitely aimed at like the 12-year-old market.
Yeah.
We've said a lot of stuff about this movie. I think like the one thing that like, because my Christmas movie choice, which we'll get to next week or the week after, or maybe never, I could die.
Yeah.
It's a Christmas miracle. The listeners finally won.
They killed you?
Yeah, they got together and they made
a... January 8th, 2036. Is that when we were filming this?
December 31st, which is Christmas Day in 2028. Because that's the first year they changed the date.
So
the listeners all came together, made a big wish for me to die. My Christmas movie is also like a 90s movie that's got like a uneven tone and is chaos. But I feel like that it's actually chaotic where a lot of this, I think it's because JTT is mostly just like, oh, whatever. So like occasionally he'll be in scenes that should be super chaotic, which happens straight away with the old women in the car, which we haven't even spoken about. It's like four of the old woman from Drag Me to Hell all in one scene. But outside of that, like even like Nolan, he's so low energy. It's like there's no chaos unfolding because everyone's just like,
All the adults that he meets along the way, they could have gone a bit more chaotic with it.
Yeah, like because then it would add stakes.
Yeah,
because like he gets hit by the van.
Yeah.
Okay. And then there's a joke about that being chaotic, but then when they're in the van, it's chill.
Put it in a fucking
Dumb and Dumber car.
You almost want, with Nolan to be like, okay, and now he's part of a heist.
Yes.
Or he's
part of
like this guy's criminal scheme. Mm. Like, because he does like, yeah, there's little, schemes at campus, but then to put him with like an actual criminal trying to do, schemes that are a bit, like a lot more malicious than just like stolen goods in the back of a van.
There was, I guess,
a funny scene that I was like, oh, that's kind of funny. When at the children's hospital, the kid's like, I don't want that toaster. I just want to see my mom and dad. And everyone's like, oh shit.
Oh fuck.
And
we then it's
like,
that.
Goes to the, Dolan on the payphone talking about like, presumably his parents being like, I just miss you, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to steal any, I don't want to be fencing all these stolen goods. And then he just like pants to the cop who's right next there. To him.
Yeah.
That I thought was funny.
I think a funny bit is that they go to the Turf and Turf restaurant where the cop's wife works, which appears to be a restaurant. And maybe this is real, I don't know, but will you pick a cow to kill?
She's dressed as a cow.
As a cow. I think that's awesome. I kind of love that. I mean, like, maybe Turf and Turf is a real restaurant. I don't know.
I'll find out.
But I love...
I think that's got to be just like a play on those gimmicky...
Yeah, like a Surf and Turf or whatever.
Yeah, but it's like a play on the gimmicky restaurants where, the people dress up. Like the... In office space, like the one where Jennifer Aniston works in, how it's like we got all this flair, like the TGI Friday kind of bullshit.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely. That. But I love the invention of that for a 90s movie that maybe was straight to DVD.
But it was like a lot of, I was looking to something ages back where they're talking about like, oh, I got to make my very like, oh man, sweet. I got to make my very first fake soda drink. Like I got to make my very first, fake, beer
absolutely.
Thing. And they just like talk about that. And like, I guess like as a writer of that, you're like, I got to make a fake restaurant. I can have fun with this.
Yeah, I can have fun. I think that's something I love about this movie too, is I love the amount, I think about if this movie was made today.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be like, hey, movies in the past were better, but shitty movies in the past were better.
Yeah.
I think this movie in 1998, there's so much unnecessary effort into the props and the sets and stuff like that. That I don't know, something about that's so charming to me. Yeah. To invent a whole restaurant for like a shitty whatever scene.
Yeah.
Something about that's beautiful. It's I don't know.
Shitty restaurant, you've got like the Oktoberfest like hotel.
Yeah, exactly.
You've got like the whole
costumes for all of the maids. Mm-hmm. Like it's just like that, like too much effort for the quality
like the
of film.
Santa fun run that just takes over a town, apparently.
Yeah. I mean, that feels like the least crazy thing that happens. Yeah. Also, Turf and Turf, not real. Yeah. Turf and Turf, the dish, also wasn't real, but now is real. But a lot of people think it was inspired by a Ron Swanson joke.
I see.
Turf and Turf is usually two steaks.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
Yeah, that checks out.
See, if you were going Turf and Turf, I'd be like, you know, a steak and a chicken breast.
Yeah.
It's usually like a porterhouse steak and some other steak. What was it? I've got it still open here.
I hope it's two porterhouse steaks.
Yeah.
But no, it should be
two turfs.
16-ounce T-bone and 24-ounce porterhouse.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
At least go pork and beef.
Yeah.
Come on.
Pork and beans.
Pork and beans. Okay.
Really interesting. This opened on November 13, 1998. Mm-hmm. It didn't go straight to DVD.
Oh, that's crazy.
Well, you go
to
remember,
see it in the cinema. Wow.
If you ride in that Home Improvement.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know, the wave. Everyone wants to see it. Where you're like, oh, you know, it's like, oh, the Wilson. He's like, oh, my name's whatever Wilson.
Yeah.
He's wearing a beard. I'm like,
Wilson reference. And plus, JTT was at the height of his sort of fame at this point, right? Yeah. Everybody had JTT fever.
Mm.
Okay. I got JTT fever a little late when I watched this again in my 20s.
I love the hairstyles of the 90s, which is
so good.
It opened the same day as Meet Joe Black.
Great film.
And I still know what you did last summer.
I see.
I know what you did last
summer. Like JTT in this film and Brad Pitt in Meet Joe Black,
similar hair. Yeah, that was the 90s hair. Should we all get 90s haircuts?
Yes.
Yeah. I think you'd look really good with that, like, you know, the part in the middle and
I think
that would suit you.
It's crazy to think that you could go to the movies this weekend and
I'll get the Rachel.
Yeah. So, you know,
what if we all try and get the
Rachel? We should all get the Rachel. Come on, guys.
So it opened the week after The Waterboy. So Waterboy's still riding high, opening the top of the box office this week.
Pretty sure I saw The Waterboy in cinemas. I don't think I saw I'll Be Home for Christmas in the cinema.
You missed out.
I Still Know What You Did Last Summer opens at number two, following the success of the previous year's I Know What You Did Last Summer,
great
a movie
film.
That sucks.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand how that was a vital part of it came out after Scream.
Yeah.
You make Scream, and that's really good. And then you're like, I should make a shit one now. And then people are like, yep.
I Know What You Did Last Summer, I guess, because it didn't lean on
Hook Hand Man car door.
I know, dude.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm
he's going manhook car whore door damn door, dude.
Yeah.
I'll be back home soon, sweaty or whatever.
Yeah.
Old internet.
Yeah. Mm.
Was it like just not as comedic as Scream?
It's not as violent. It's not as interesting. Yeah. It's not as funny. Everything Scream does, I Know He Did Last Summer, does way worse.
Yeah. It's just that Scream is a bit more in the comedic.
Oh, yeah. Scream's also technically a parody.
Yeah. Whereas I Know What You Did Last Summer is less.
It's just a straight horror movie. It's just not good.
Yeah.
You can still make a good horror movie.
I know you can make good films.
Can choose. Sometimes you can wake up and you can choose to make art that's good.
Yeah,
not us. Anyway, I Know What You Did. I'll Be Home for Christmas opened at number six behind Ants in its seventh week.
Ants is a classic movie, dude. Woody Allen's greatest film.
I'll Be Home for Christmas was seen as both a commercial and commercial and critical failure.
Oh yeah, have you read, dude? What? I love reading the reviews of it. People are not kind.
Let me see if I can find them because they're very funny.
It is very interesting, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like all those old films that, like, you know, we cherished or whatever, you watch as a kid, like over and over again, and just like we're on TV,
and then it's like you read like the reviews now, either like of people back then or just people today that are revisiting it. Man, wow, how did any of these become classics?
I know.
Like, how did anyone watch
but
anything?
But I think that what used to happen is that you're a kid, someone buys you a Christmas movie on DVD.
Yeah.
Like, so for example, I mean, Ants, I think, I mean, I had 7 weeks at the cinema, but as a kid, I had a VHS of Ants. So I watched Ants a lot.
Yeah.
But And I think that's, and so it's kind of like it cements itself in your brain as a classic just because you have the DVD or the VHS or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think, again, when streaming, I mean, wait, this is the coldest take imaginable, I think. But hey, but yeah, when streaming came around and then the VHS / DVD / Blu-ray market just kind of just tanked, it was kind of like, but that's where all these mid-tier movies or mid-budget movies would make their income. And then they're like, well, that's gone.
Absolutely.
How many billions of minutes did
and I think there's also something where, like, when you're young, and like maybe this was true for people who were old pre-internet, but when you're young, you don't find out which movies are good based on some, like, maybe you might like be reading in the paper reviews or whatever, but like otherwise it's just like, what are the people around you like?
Yeah.
And if someone says you should check this, it's kind of like, in a way, I mean, you know, who knows? But in a way, it feels like a far more intimate experience with the movie, where you're like really not influenced by anything outside of,
like, you go into
my
a
relationship
film,
with the film.
Yeah, like you go into a film and you've heard nothing about it other than you watch the trailers or whatever, or you go into a film being like, you know, oh, I read a review. They were like, one star for dumb babies. If you like it, you're a big dumb idiot. And you're like, but I like.
You're like, uh-oh.
Or you watch. You're like, I like that. Then you read the review. I can't tell anyone.
That's my secret shame, I suppose.
Yeah, that's sad. I mean, I'll Be Home for Christmas. Rotten Tomatoes critical consensus reads, neither parent nor child will find any merriment in this mess.
That's fair.
I like Roger Egypt.
Oh, yeah.
Roger Ebert, who gave it one.
He really hates it.
He describes it as,
well, there's no tits in this film.
Well,
so.
Exactly. He says it's Pleasantville made from antimatter. The film is about people who seem to be removed from a 50s sitcom so they can spread cliches, ancient jokes, dumb plotting, and empty, cheerful, sanitized gimmicks into our world and time. Christopher Null gave the film, surprisingly engaging, 3 out of 5 stars. Christopher Null, my guy.
Let's just check out Christopher Null because he has a clickable link.
Yeah, dude. He looks cool. He was a former blogger for Yahoo Tech.
Yeah.
What do you fucking think about that?
I don't know what the...
I don't know his film, I guess.
What do you think about that, dude?
He's a computer guy. Yeah. Why did he review that movie?
He wrote a book called 5 Stars, How to Become a Film Critic, the World's Greatest Job, in 2013.
Oh, actually, he was the editor-in-chief of filmcritic.com.
Yeah, he fucking rocks,
and he was the editor of Drink Hacker.
Yeah. Okay, nice.
Drink Hacker.
What does that mean?
DrinkHacker.com.
One of the longest-running spirits review websites with this is a funny thing to brag about because, like, with more than 10,000 posts,
it's just very funny to be like, Drink Hacker, where you're like, what are you doing? This is how you make sure you get real drunk.
We're gonna hack your drink to get you drunk.
So yeah, when you go to the bar and you're like, hey, can I get a bourbon and coke, you go, make it a double.
That's a good hack.
What
dude.
A hack, man.
Good hack. Classic drink hack.
And someone comes in, you know, what if you ask for a triple?
Game changer. Hack alert.
I'm gonna get so fucking drunk right now.
I'll be here for
Christmas. I got another email. Hey, I think you have a problem.
No, I'm just a hacker of drinks.
I'm just hacking drinks.
I'm just hacking, dude.
I'll Be Home for Christmas sadly didn't make it into December in the cinemas.
That's fucked up, dude.
That's their problem. That's their problem.
Yeah, you got to be full of Christmas spirit to enjoy.
If they had
released,
because again, Christmas is becoming early and early every single year.
Exactly. Yeah, so I remember.
So like in 1998, you reckon it didn't start?
No,
sorry,
I remember
didn't
reading
start until December 1st.
Yeah, like reading about a boy.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen that film or read that book, you know the whole thing where, like, you know, Hugh Grant's character, he gets all his money from a Christmas royalty song that his dad wrote. And like in there, it's just like, you know, it's, I think one of the things, like, November fucking 17th, you know, that's when he first heard the Christmas song. And it's just like, wow, November 17th. That's crazy that it was happening, you know. But now, I mean, we're getting Christmas shit in October. Like, Christmas shit next to Halloween.
Well, Halloween
shit.
Ends and they're like, we got to fill this fucking shelf
before
with something.
Halloween ends, you got to be like, well, you got to get the Christmas stuff out.
From retail friends I've got, apparently it's, Halloween, I guess. I don't know when they start Halloween, but let's say start of October. Like, let's say October 1. Christmas stuff starts literally the moment Halloween ends. There's not meant to be crossover. If there's ever any crossover, it's because it's just leftover Halloween stock. So Christmas starts November 1st. And then New Year's Day, it's Easter, baby.
Sure is. Dude.
Hot cross buns.
I think it's even now. I mean, I think it's even going a bit further because, like, there was definitely Christmas shit happening before October 31st this year.
Yeah, dude. So I think it's
like,
awesome.
Yeah,
I think
man. I'm looking forward to like 6 months of like Christmas.
Yeah.
And then I guess, yeah, a couple months of Easter.
Oh, dude.
Well, it's just crazy because like the weather in Australia, or Melbourne in particular, it's just been dog shit in November.
Yeah.
It's cold.
Yeah.
Raining.
It doesn't feel like Christmas.
No.
A couple of like real warm days. And you're like, oh.
Oh, this.
And then, and then you get rained on. You're like, oh.
Come on.
I can't enjoy this. This isn't that Santa Claus playing cricket in the
Not more Australian than Santa playing cricket in the nude.
Yeah. I can't fire up the Barbie.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
too wet.
It's too wet for the Barbie. Mm. It is a funny thing for people to complain about when they go, ah, it's Christmas stuff earlier and earlier every year. And you go, who cares? What? Yeah. What could possibly be bad about that?
Yeah.
Like even, like what, how does it in any way negatively affect a person to see tinsel in October?
I guess if you're a big Grinch, and also I guess the expectation of like, you know, the buying gifts and like the whole like capitalism bullshit and all that kind of stuff. I guess, you know, you're mad about that.
Yeah.
But also you're like, ah, who cares?
Well,
like,
so you don't have to buy engage. Gifts. Yeah, you either don't buy gifts at all or like, you're going to have to buy gifts at some point.
Or it's like, doing that, you know. Hate hearing the Christmas songs earlier and earlier and blah, blah, blah. Oh, and I'm like, who's paying it that much attention?
Yeah, exactly. Oh my God, dude. See, if you're going to let every little fucking thing get to you, you're going to go insane.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Christmas is awesome. I'm a big Christmas guy. I love Christmas.
Christmas fun.
It was hard to pick only one Christmas movie for these
What made the short list then?
Polar Express.
Why do you only like the fucked up ones?
Polar Express is funny, dude. it's funny.
I've never seen Polar Express. That's set. I've seen the follow up, I guess, with the Jim Carrey.
That's crazy. I've never seen that.
Yeah, that was terrifying.
It's bad.
The animation.
It's
alone,
bad. At least Polar Express, it's like a little bit cartoony, so you can kind of. It's still disgusting.
Oh, I understand. I understand.
Polar Express famously made my grandma spew.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's so sick. She's all by herself for some reason.
a little Christmas treat.
What was grandma her up to, dude?
She was just like, I think she had just been to the shops and she was like, I'll go see a movie.
Yeah.
And it made her sick.
I love that Tom Hanks.
That's why I love Polar Express.
Well, she likes Christmas, so I'm guessing. Yeah. So it just,
well, it would have been the Christmas movie that was out at the time.
Yeah.
And it's like animated, so you go, it's going to be a bit of fun. But I love, it's, for me, a Christmas movie, like what will elevate it is if it's a bit fucked up, like, but in a way that's kind of unintentional. And the Polar Express is that too, where they go, like, it's this, it, you know, Tom Hanks plays like five characters in it,
yeah,
but for no benefit, like, it's
there's
not
no reason.
It's not like
Tom Hanks loves to play heaps of guys in one movie,
yeah,
I'm sick of it,
yeah, but it's not like
Cloud Atlas. Famously plays some guys he shouldn't be playing.
That's true.
Kia, whatever the fuck it's called.
What one?
The movie about the house. It's also a Robert Zemeckis
movie. Oh, yeah, yeah, where it's all filmed from one angle.
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 that's right. I wanted to see that. Not good?
Well, I don't know. I haven't seen it. No one has.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. But in Polar Express, like, he plays the little boy, but he also plays Santa. I think he plays the little boy.
And he plays the conductor.
And he plays the conductor and Father Christmas and the magical hobo that lives on top of the train. To what end?
I mean, they're all aspects of Santa, right?
I don't know, I guess. My favorite thing about the Polar Express, and I said this before, is that it canonizes the idea that Santa doesn't get presents for poor kids. I need to bring up poor kids again, but like, because there's this poor kid that goes on the Polar Express, right?
No presents for you!
Yeah, and he's like really sad, and they're like, why are you on the Polar Express? And he's like, because Santa never gets me gifts, so I just want to go and ask him why. But
does he get an answer?
No, Santa just gives him a present.
That's not an answer.
So like, it canonically in the Polar Express, Father Christmas has not been given, because he's real. That's what the movie establishes. He's a real guy. But he's just been not been given his kid presents.
It's like, we don't answer that. Just have a gift. It's
just have a present. Don't worry about it, kid. And the movie's like, because he gets the gift and it's meant to be really exciting.
You could have been like, oh, yeah, I did get you a gift, but they were stolen by rude boys and girls.
No. Santa just doesn't give poor kids presents, I guess.
Yeah.
Suck shit, little boy.
Yeah, suck shit.
What at Home Alone, obviously, was on my short list, one and two, because I love those movies. But I feel like, look, everybody's seen Home Alone 1. We watched it together way back in the day. Yeah. Don't need to do that. What other Christmas movies made that short list?
Dude, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's your shortlist, dude.
I know. I'm trying to remember Christmas movies.
And there's like it's a Christmas movie that I really enjoyed. That like I think you might like it. It's Santa Claus Conquers the Martians.
Oh yeah, I've seen Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. It's great, dude.
It's all like it's like for a long time that became like our Christmas movie we'd watch. And it's so stupid. Yeah. And it makes no sense.
It's from like the 1950s.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Why
dude.
Is it's like Christmas doesn't really play a big part in that.
Santa's just kind of.
He's got to do other stuff.
Yeah. He's got a whole year to do shit. Dude.
And the elves are making the presents. They're out there making the Nintendo and the mics.
And the Atari and stuff.
Dude, the mobile phones. The iPads. The elves can do anything.
Yeah. Santa Claus just sits in his fucking big balls.
Well, he's like, he just sits in his fat nuts.
Yeah, I know. But he's also the driver.
Chair. Yeah, he drives the sleigh.
That's important. And when you make in a heist, the driver is like he's not the most integral person,
but he's pretty important.
But he's pretty, important.
I would say it is the most important person in a heist.
I'd say the mastermind's pretty,
that's
person.
True.
But I would say maybe what about this? The driver's the linchpin,
because
if the driver fucks up their job, everyone go to jail,
if the driver's not there,
everyone go to jail but the driver,
If the driver's clever. They get away with the the heist, but they don't go to prison. But they don't get the treasure.
Yeah. The driver, he drives to the police station. He rats out his friends.
Exactly.
That's a good idea, dude. Oh, man. I think being the driver would be one of the most stressful heist jobs.
Yeah.
Because, what if you're on the wrong street? You got it wrong.
Well, that's not what I'd be worried about. It's in,
where are they?
That's not a bank.
Fuck. Are they robbing? I think they're robbing the wrong building.
Hey, guys, were you robbing that abandoned Toys R Us that hasn't been open for decades?
No, question mark.
What? Oh. Where you at? Hey, I'll send my location.
Yeah. No, don't. Oh, no. Please don't. Wait, where am I?
Yeah.
I'm going to stop in this 7-Eleven and ask for directions.
Yeah, and get a sausage roll.
Wants one?
Yeah.
I got five Slurpees.
I can't eat a sausage roll in this mask. I'm going to take it off.
Update, I've spilled the Slurpees in the car. I'm sorry, chair might be a bit wet. No worries.
Put the heating on.
Yeah.
Putting the heating on.
By the way,
melted.
One of those Slurpees was milk.
Yeah. I'm opening the door. I've pulled over. I've opened the doors. I'm fanning the car using the door.
Why haven't you replied? Does it have anything to do with the police sirens?
Where are you at? You haven't sent me location yet.
Yeah.
I'll share mine.
I'll send mine. Oh, no. The cops are coming.
So
stressful to be a driver.
Yeah.
What's your favorite moment of I'll Be Home for Christmas?
There's so many to choose from. Mm. I love.
Is there?
Yes.
There's so many best moments to choose
there
from.
There are. I love. I think the burger Nolan's eating always looks really good to me when he's driving his van.
That is true. It does look good.
No, that's. Yeah, lock it in. That's your favorite moment.
No. I'm just going through. I got to talk it out.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. I do love the moment where JCT and the Ed Man are together and then the Ed Man, halfway through them bonding, just pulls over and kicks him out.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I think that's funny. I think the Santa Fun Run is a fun set piece. That's good.
Mm-hmm. I like the Kenyan Santa.
The Kenyan Santa is funny. JTT just being like, Kenyan? It's a very funny, just extremely casual racism from JTT. Kenyan? That's like a, that just, I burst out laughing when I was watching it last night. Why does he say that? Kenyan?
I'm like, is that,
you can't do that, JTT.
Is it because of like the Olympics? And
I think so.
I'm pretty sure, it's casual racism about running.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's just like, it's so, it's like a different tone to the rest of the movie. Anyway, very funny. So I like that scene. I like.
What I like about that as well is it's implied that the mayor always wins. So.
Yeah, why?
The mayor always wins. Never bet against the city.
Yeah, exactly.
The mayor always wins.
I quite like, I think there's a lot of beautiful scenery in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
You get a lot of lovely.
You couldn't even say that with a straight face.
No, well, it's because I know what movie it is. But there are a lot of beautiful sort of shots of like the, I don't know what the mountain range is in California, but of those sort of mountain ranges and stuff. I think that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
So again, this is you meant to be listing your favorite scenes, and so far you've said the burger that Nolan eats, the racist joke,
yes,
and the scenery.
Yeah. Well, I'm just talking.
What about
I'm
the dog that does the human fart?
The dog that does the human fart. It's a really good scene.
I thought that was great.
Clearly, pre-9/11 movie. Dog should not be doing human farts.
Human farts should be reserved for humans.
Yeah. And JTT, he just like runs out of the plane when it lands.
Yeah.
He should have gone to jail then.
Oh, there's many times where you're like, he should have gone to jail.
Yeah.
What about the sandwich that gives JTT the inspiration to make a liver don't like an organ.
I think that's really good too. I think about that guy, you know, plot hole alert, the guy who's like, that's the meat from my sandwich.
Like, yeah, how'd he get it? Also, what I love that this guy is eating raw meat.
slathered.
That's the kind of laziness that elevates this film where they go, we need JTT to come up with an excuse. What if he fakes a liver transplant?
Yeah.
How do we get a fake liver?
We'll have a gross guy eating a horrible liver sandwich or something.
Yeah. I just like that whole, the whole bus gets behind him to be like, they just make up like a little girl. Like, you got to save this little girl.
And then the bus driver's
like, I care so much.
If you don't think I care,
you don't think I care?
You can go to hell, dude.
Yeah.
I love that little girl.
Stay behind the yellow light.
So, have you settled on a favorite moment?
Just talking through it. Relax.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Slow your roll.
What about when he is on the roof of the car?
Oh, that's
and
great.
And he trips, like he falls over, and the little kid starts like, you know, high sand.
Mm-hmm.
So that was
that's really good. He's banging on the roof, and the lady driving.
She doesn't pay any attention.
It's Christmas Eve. She's got to get home.
Yeah, man.
I like when he sleeps in the sleigh for the first time. Mm-hmm. I think that's it's kind of a cozy scene. I like when...
How are these your favorite scenes?
What do you mean?
What do you mean?
What?
Just what? Like, you're picking... You're not even picking... Like, I watched the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get why you like the movie.
Yeah.
And then you're picking, like, transitional scenes and being like, these are the highlights.
Well, maybe you don't understand why I like the movie. If these are my favorite scenes, maybe you've pegged me all wrong, brother.
No,
I think he has.
I think you have.
I think you're just remembering things and being like, this is funny.
Yeah.
This is when this thing happens.
Yeah, that's my favorite scene.
That's your favorite scene.
I like when he's woken up after sleeping in the sleigh by the guy pretending to be Santa.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good scene.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be a nightmare for JTT when he wakes up to a fake Santa in his face.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of impossible. I'll tell you my least favorite scene.
Yeah.
I don't love the stuff before he's on the road. When he's in California, it's kind of boring.
Yeah,
I don't know.
He hasn't been stranded yet. The part of the movie that makes it good for
him. Well, no, because he's not. He's got no opposition. You know.
He does have opposition, but they're not setting it up. Like, once again, because it's such a lazy film, they're just not setting it up that he's doing something and he's also got a heart of gold.
Yeah.
Just like. He's a sociopath.
Yeah.
Why is he doing any
of this?
Well,
I think he's just at his most annoying, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, because I think when you have a character like this, right, where what's enjoyable about them is to see them get out of scrapes, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, how's JTT going to get out of this one? It's not enjoyable when they've got nothing to push up against, which is what the beginning of the movie is
and
like.
And also, it's kind of like the writers are like, well, we need to make this kid cool.
Yes.
And that's it.
Yes.
There's no, like... anything else. They're just like, wouldn't it be cool if he can, you know, do this kind of stuff and then he just gets, I don't know, beaten up by some jocks or whatever.
And
like,
then,
how cool is he, though?
Yeah, and then the movie, cool. when he's beaten up and now he's got someone to fight against, the movie actually starts.
It just feels like they don't really give him any flaws.
No.
Well, his flaw is that he's a scumbag, but it's also, by the end, it's okay.
But that's not the flaw, though. He's just a scumbag, but like, thumbs up.
Yeah, well, it's cool that he's, because in that initial scene, they're like,
he's the coolest guy.
He's the coolest guy in school.
Except he fucking loves Dave Matthews Band, which is objectively the worst, the least cool guy thing. That's like being like, yeah, I fucking love Fish and Tool. Shut up.
When do you see him loving Dave Matthews?
He mentions it at the very start.
Oh, there, fair.
He's like, hey, did you get the Dave Matthews Band ticket for me?
Yes, that's right.
Also, this movie was originally called I Won't Be Home for Christmas.
That's funny.
Mm-hmm. And then in the van, in Ed's first scene, he's listening to the song I Won't Be Home for Christmas by Blink-182.
Nice.
I think Ed is my favorite character. I love a 90s guy who is stupid and mean. I think that combination is so funny to
me. Another weird thing with this is like, so Ed's character is like pining after Jessica Biel. So the character of Ed, the actor's name's Adam something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's pining after Jessica Biel's character, Allie.
Yeah.
In Seventh Heaven, they're in a couple, but then he dumps Mary, who is Jessica Biel, for Lucy, who's Jessica Biel's younger sister.
Yeah.
But they're both happening at the same time. Like, when this movie comes out, that plot line is happening on TV.
Yeah.
Hmm. That's confusing.
But I don't think it is.
Is it?
I don't think it is. Sorry, no.
It's not confusing. It's just it stands out as strange to me. Like when that happens, like to reuse two actors,
Wanda and Pietro.
Yeah,
this is
a thing that gets in your bonnet sometimes.
Oh no, that one's different, and that was actually credited to it being a box office bomb.
Yeah,
really?
Well, not a bomb. Sorry, not doing as well.
Really? Yeah,
because like people can adjust, but it's just like because of the way that media works now.
I just feel maybe I just do not pay attention to who is
acting. Yeah, I can't imagine giving a shit and just being like, this is a movie.
Siblings. Now they're playing husband and wife.
Yeah, because I know movies aren't real, you know?
Yes,
unless they were like, you know, they're real life brother and sister, and they're playing a married couple.
If a real life brother
and
sister.
What the fuck is going on?
If I'm watching a movie and a real life brother and sister make out on screen sloppy style, I'm saying... check, please.
Why this happened?
This is strange.
This is bad for me.
Excuse me, project demand.
Like,
this is peculiar. Turn the movie off.
Thank you.
I'm seeing incest I don't want to see.
Yeah. But ultimately, I just...
Acting's acting, but...
I don't think I'm... If I'm watching this film, I don't think I'm really across...
Yeah, I'm never thinking
heaven.
About... what the other characters are doing.
That's also true.
They opened one weekend apart, so I think it was just like people were being like, because they were getting blasted with commercials about Age of Ultron, so it's just like you couldn't really avoid it.
Mm.
So like you're...
It seems crazy to me, but I guess if someone out there has been like, this is probably the reason.
Well, it's part of the reason, because it's like...
Okay, so you know how we're in a constant state of chaos and fighting for our lives every single day on this godforsaken earth? Between work and everything else falling apart around me, I have not had it together enough to meal prep or plan dinner or honestly function like a normal human being most week nights. Cooking something good is hard, and I deserve a modicum of joy every now and again. That's why I've turned to Omaha Steaks. My freezer is full. That's sorted. It is genuinely the one part of my life running smoothly. Real steaks, burgers, seafood, chicken, sides, all shipped to my door. So even on the nights where everything else is on fire, dinner isn't one more thing to stress about. I made the burgers the other night, didn't even have the energy to think, just pulled them out, threw them on the grill, and they tasted like something from an actual steakhouse. Somehow, the one corner of my life that's together is the one I didn't even have to think about. If you've never tried them, the Burger Perfection Flight is the easiest way in. 20 premium steak burgers across 5 cuts. So try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, get $35 off with promo code BEEF. That's right, BEEF. BEEF. omahasteaks.com. Promo code BEEF for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details.
Well, I think people were like, it's seeing them as brother and sister and seeing is a far more believable than seeing them as like their on-screen chemistry.
Yeah,
feels more like brother and sister.
Mm-hmm. Some actors do have that chemistry. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And sometimes the way stuff, like in a great movie that we still need to watch, Dear Evan Hansen.
Mm-hmm.
There's a scene where Dear Evan Hansen, no, the boy, whatever the boy's name is.
Evan Hansen?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. Evan Hansen. Yeah. Anyway, where he is.
That was tricky for me to figure out.
Yeah. Well, because I got.
He writes the letters to himself.
Yeah. So that threw me off. But anyway, he's having a conversation with his mom. His mom's singing him a song. But the way it's shot and the way they keep getting closer, it really feels like all of the language of cinema is like they are about to make Evan Hansen's about to kiss his mom.
Is it Twilight that has an issue? Billy Burke and
what's her name?
Bella's dad.
Bella and Bella's dad have like extremely good on-screen chemistry, but they are dad and daughter.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah.
But yeah, no. The Seventh Heaven and this crossover, it's not. It's just. It's more like weird in the sense of like think of how many actors there are in the world.
Yeah.
And like something that's currently happening, it would be like, I don't know.
Look, again, hey, this is a you thing.
Yeah, I don't care.
To me,
this
I don't care.
This is one of these situations where you're like, why do you care about this? I'm like, it's notable.
You're saying you
I don't actually care.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you do.
To me, it's not notable.
Yeah, to me, I couldn't even remember any of this.
That's the difference. To me,
there's nothing notable about it. Yeah. They're just two actors getting, probably you'd be like, well, they got chemistry in Seventh Heaven.
Yeah.
They know how to work together. Get them on the greatest film we're ever going to make.
Yeah. We'll film at the exact same time. Yeah. In fact, this was a script once for Seventh Heaven, but I guess we just blew it out a little bit.
What's Seventh Heaven about?
I have no idea.
That's the Seventh Heaven is the one with the pedophile dad.
Unfortunately,
that doesn't narrow it down.
The one that's not Hey Dad.
It's the religious, he's the pastor. Okay. And he has seven people living in the house.
Okay. Yeah, I never watched Seventh Heaven.
I don't know why I get Seventh Heaven and 10 Simple Rules for Dating My Teenage Daughter confused. I guess numbers.
Seventh Heaven was really popular, but it is also very Christian.
Yeah.
Right. But it crossed over. It's
it the same era as Party of Five? Or a bit before.
No, it's later. It's
you're getting tricked by numbers as well.
Yeah, I guess so.
Seventh Heaven is
Party of Five was mum and dad are dead and we have five kids?
Maybe.
Seventh Heaven, I'm pretty sure, is mid-90s to early 2000s.
Mm. I think Seventh Heaven is weird because I've never seen it, but my understanding is that it's the way it presents, this is the perfect family unit, but sometimes they have disagreements and God, they get to some resolution. But actually, the show is mostly them screaming at each other and it's an awful family kind of under the veneer,
I saw a lot of it, but I think it's just because it was on our pay TV, it was a classic
Foxtel
thing that was just on all the time.
Yeah.
Most of the solutions are just classic teenage problems and the parents warn them about something and then the parents are right.
How much God was in it?
As in God as a character?
No, how much did they
He's a pastor.
Yeah, but I guess what I mean is because it's a Christian show.
Yeah.
But how much of the resolution
through Christ?
Yeah,
can't remember 100%.
Yeah.
The dad being a pedophile really distracts from my memory of the show.
That's fair. And it doesn't really make you want to rewatch it.
That's also fair.
Yeah.
My understanding is that most of the time it's just lessons, as in people just learn lessons. It's not you've got to pray to find
them. Yeah, but do they learn Christian lessons, I guess? I guess it's hard to, I don't know why we're asking questions. You're I don't really remember.
We're putting a lot of pressure on you. Watched as a child.
It's more 90s sitcoms lessons. Drugs are bad, but people do drugs.
Okay.
Don't lie to your dad.
Those
kind of things.
Yeah, okay. Interesting. Yeah. It's funny looking at, just briefly before, looking at JTT's career.
Because
he does this, then up until the 2001, I think, he's a movie a year.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting worse, but he is doing a movie a year.
Are they getting worse?
Yeah, well, I didn't actually check the box office, but one of them was called A Gummy Bear's Squiggly Christmas.
Another Christmas movie.
Yeah, he did a couple. He did a couple.
I'm trying to think, did I ever watch any of JTT's films as a kid and enjoyed them?
Yeah, well, he was one of those Disney stars in the 90s era of Disney star where they were he's the cutest boy you've ever seen. Mm. There was a lot of that kind of marketing
on the wall.
Yeah, teenage girls and stuff. So he did I'll Be Home for Christmas. Mm-hmm. Then he did Speedway Junkie and Walking Across Egypt, two movies I've never heard of in my life. Common Ground, another movie I've never heard of. The Tangerine Bear, Home in Time for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar. Then Timothy Tweedle, The First Christmas Elf.
Why is he doing so many Christmas movies?
I don't know. Then in 2001, the year off, they weren't both in 2000. In 2001, he did An American Town. Then 2005 is his next film role. He plays Customer 3 in the short film Tilt-A-Whirl.
Mm-hmm.
And then Prince Rajas in Through the Mobius Strip. And then he stopped acting in movies full stop.
Yeah.
2005 really seems like the end of his...
Yeah.
Veronica Mars, he
directed something in 2006, a 12-minute thing.
Okay. What does he look like now? Does he look fucked up?
He looks pretty normal.
Four episodes of Last Man Standing.
Look, that's the last thing he looks did. Like.
Yeah, he just looks like a regular guy.
Yeah.
He looks kind of like someone.
Young Zach Braff.
Yes. He's only 44.
Yeah.
Get him back, dude. I'll Be Home for Christmas too.
Dude, come they're on. Not going to make I'll Be Home for Christmas 2. You're the only person on earth that likes this movie.
Yeah. Sam doesn't mind it.
I don't mind it.
Everybody at home, and you should be doing this. If this is your homework. you should, after this, if you've not already seen it, you should go watch I'll Be Home for Christmas.
Yeah.
And send us an email and let us know what you think.
Yeah, let us know. Are you team Jack or are you team JD?
Yeah. Do you love it? Do you hate it?
Are you indifferent? I think I fall, like, I would say probably more towards your camp, Jack. But it is like, it's not like an incredible film to change your life.
Of course not.
But it's silly. It's dumb.
It's a silly, cheesy 90s Christmas movie.
It is so of its time.
Yeah. Which is, and it's like, but it's a cheesy 90s Christmas movie made by the laziest people alive who missed the mark, like, gratuitously, and that's what makes it so charming to me.
Yeah.
You know?
And well, like, again, everything is like, nice time.
Yeah.
It's weird, like, comparing it to, you know, the movies we watch these days where everything is like on a volume and
I love that about,
like,
it too.
No, you know, no background actors in the slightest, where you're like, oh, there's people around. I like the fun run they do with Santa as you're like, you're seeing people throughout the, you know, watching this Santa run who are just, I guess, there to see the Santas fall.
Yeah.
I love that it was like sort of shot like a Tour de France where like bike stacks and all this kind of shit happening. Like,
absolutely.
It's just like kind of like,
it's charming.
Silly. Yeah. Charming. Yeah. And you kind of, I guess in the hands of a more talented crew would have been like a lot better. I mean, that's, you know, obviously. But like, again, there's like little moments there where you're like, that's really kind of like, you could have done more with that. It would have been nice. But then once again, Jake is still a sack of shit.
Yeah. He's a bad guy.
Yeah.
This, like, was directed by the same person who directed the Ferris Bueller TV show that failed spectacularly.
Oh, that's so funny.
And also, that makes this movie sadder to me, I think.
Yeah.
They just really wanted to make Ferris Bueller, but Ferris Bueller already existed.
Yeah.
Well, and they're like, what if it was Christmas Ferris Bueller and no one came?
It's a bit of Ferris Bueller, a bit of, you know, like Planes, Trains, and Automobiles kind of thing.
But I don't
it's just like, it's just not quite.
Yeah.
It just misses his mark.
Because Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, like, even Due Date, which is a worse, a significantly worse movie.
Yeah.
But like, there's stakes in the, we need to get from A to B, we have to do X.
Yes. Yeah.
And no matter what happens, we got to do X. Yeah. This doesn't do that.
No.
This is like, they're like, oh, no, fuck, he fucked up and he doesn't care and it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
There's no stakes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's awesome.
It's nice that he's just a little liar and all he can do is lie.
Yeah. I do.
And, like, gaslight.
I mean, I knew exactly what type of movie I was getting into, knowing that it was a Jackson child and young adult early favorite. Every movie you like is like this.
Absolutely, dude.
A piece of shit gets stranded somewhere.
Yeah.
Doesn't learn any lessons. The world's worse off for them existing.
An unrepentant sociopath receives no lessons and wins.
Yeah. I love that. It's even at the very, very end where it's like, oh, yeah, he steals a horse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the parade come by his house and they see the stolen horse. And they're like, that's the guy who stole the horse.
Yeah.
But they're marching like peace on earth.
Yeah, exactly.
So, they're like, well, so the guy's like, you stole our horse, but I hope you have a wonderful day. And the guy, the JTT is like, those are beautiful wings on your costume. He's like, I did them myself. I've been taking lessons and doing sewing or whatever.
Like, oh,
and
shows.
He's like, man, shows. You're doing great. He's like, you're a charming guy. You're like, you're a charming guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, good luck.
Lead the parade, I guess.
Yeah, it's like, okay. No comeuppance, no lessons.
And that's a beautiful marriage to me of the JTT is a bad guy who learns no lessons, and this movie is incredibly lazily written.
Oh, yeah.
Because
and
clearly,
also JTT's acting in that particular scene, he's just sort of like, he doesn't. He's just there like, he's like basically hands in pockets, kind of shrugging like,
It's like you can tell the movie knows it's finished and they're like, well, let's just wrap it up. And it's like, when you're writing it, you're like, do we need to write, like, he stole a horse, the parade. The last time we saw the parade, they were chasing him down. Do we care? No, of course not. The movie's over.
Yeah. And one of the writers of this went on, the next project was Juice Bigelow, Male Gigolo.
Oh,
and then they followed that up with Master of Disguise.
Yes, dude.
And that career trajectory makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Bangers all the way down.
Actually, both of those movies are structured like this.
Yeah.
I've never seen Master of Disguise.
I'm fairly sure.
No, like, Juice Bigelow's not.
Pieces of shit that don't learn a lesson.
Isn't Juice Bigelow, he's also trying to like...
Juice Bigelow's thing is, it's not structured in the same way. It's just that he goes on a lot of dates with a lot of different quirky
Women. Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, like, in a way, yes, but not quite the same.
Yeah.
He's not trying to go from A to B, but it does feature the same thing of, like, what if he met this wacky
character?
Yeah,
it's like a bunch of quirky...
And then that scene ends, and then he meets a different... Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. But I think... What... Does he learn the lesson that all women are beautiful in Deuce Bigelow?
Maybe.
What about in Deuce Bigelow, European Gigolo?
I don't know. I've never seen
that. I feel like I whacked off to that movie.
The second one. Yeah, right.
Well, because I think in the European Gigolo, he's in Amsterdam and there's some breasts, possibly.
Possibly.
Yeah.
So or at least a hint of titty.
Yeah.
So like maybe you see like a scantily clad person and you're like... That's good. And then there's implied boning, I assume.
Yeah, well, absolutely. So. I think what's weird about a European gigolo, and I might be misremembering, Dusha seems to have the tomes open, so maybe you can tell me, is that in the first Deuce Bigelow, one of his clients is a very tall woman.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody, yes. She's that's a huge bitch.
Yeah.
And then I think in the second one, one of his clients is a very tall woman.
Maybe it's the same one.
And look, I don't want to discredit because these people clearly wrote the same I'll Be Home for Christmas movie I love.
Yeah.
But I don't think that joke's funny enough to do twice.
Because I remember it was like, it was in like a courtroom or something. Mm. And like, again, you know, you don't see her face because she's so tall. And it's just like, you know, you hear people yelling like, she's a huge bitch or that kind of stuff. And then it just like, you know, kind of pans out and it's just the bailiff doing the...
Yes, that's right. Yeah,
and you're like, oh, it's a funny...
That's a funny... Do you think... How poorly would Deuce Bigelow hold up on a rewatch?
Well, okay.
I think it would be pretty ratchet.
But you know, there's a blind woman and she's hot and she blends up a very rare fish and she's like, we're having margaritas.
Okay.
You gotta remember how crazy that a blind woman can be so hot.
That because being blind should make you ugly?
So Deuce Bigelow male gigolo ends with him getting married.
Okay.
The opening scene of Deuce Bigelow European gigolo, you find out that Deuce Bigelow was recently widowed because his wife got killed off screen in a shark attack.
Okay.
Played for laughs.
Yep.
Like they got Austin Powers-esque.
No, that doesn't happen off screen.
I know.
Though.
Yeah.
Like, you know, a similar vibe of like, oh, you know, I'm single again.
I don't think this movie... One of his clients is a... Then the animal would hold up. He fucks a fucking post box because he gets so horny from seeing a goat. Do you know, dude, classic scene. He sees, or maybe a lady dog, and he gets so horny, he fucks a post box.
Wow.
Yeah, dude.
Wow.
That's a really cool movie.
That's great. What's Rob Schneider up to these days?
Nothing good.
What opinion is he holding that must
no
be interesting?
Good opinions,
let me just
dude.
Quickly have a what?
Oh, yeah.
What are you trying to shell these days, Rob?
Uh-oh.
He's just going on Twitter and questioning every vaccine.
Yeah. Yes.
And then saying comedy's not woke now. But also he didn't get an invite to Riyadh Comedy Festival.
Yeah. What's that about? He's got to be cut about dude.
He would be booning off.
Yeah.
He's not in Adam Sandler's movies and he's not getting invited to the comedy festival.
What the fuck, dude? But he's doing a pretty good, he's doing a lot of rounds on the terrible American comedy podcast circuit. So that's
wait, the Austin comedy scene?
Yeah. He's, like, he's on it. He's on it, dude.
Is he performing at the Comedy Mothership run by Joe Rogan?
I think so. And maybe Louis C.K. is doing the same thing to promote his new book.
Well, yeah, you bet Rob is there being like,
of course.
He got the invite.
Let me
Why
on,
didn't
dude?
I get the invite?
Robbie Schneids.
What the fuck?
Fuck,
I'm trying to find out what he's doing now.
We
Rob
should
Schneider
do a
official
we do,
website.
We should do a Rob Schneider month, I reckon, and watch some Rob Schneider
like,
classics.
I think he was, I blearily saw that I think he was selling whiskey maybe and calling it liberal tears?
I believe
so. Or something
so.
Along those lines?
I believe so. He's a deeply embarrassing man.
He did.
I can understand why his daughter's like, I best not have your name
Schneider
attached
surname.
To me.
Yeah.
What the guy who sucks? Ben
so
Shapiro.
Many.
He
yeah.
did that.
Yeah.
He did an episode of the Ben Shapiro show.
Yeah, okay.
Was Rob Schneider...
He has a podcast!
Of course he does.
Yeah.
It's called See What Happens.
Of course it is. Did he do like a voice acty thing for like a right wing comedy?
Oh, that is familiar. Rob.
And it's just,
let's have a look.
I think I watched is it a Big Joel?
Yeah. Okay.
Classic.
Let
my
me
enemy.
Have,
Big Joel.
Let's yeah.
Classic Big Joel.
Yeah. Little Joel.
Yeah.
Little Joel and
well,
Big Joel.
Well, his podcast is doing pretty well on Instagram. It has 4,000 follows.
Okay. That's nice. Good for Rob.
I he feel was like in if Hubie you're Rob Halloween. Schneider and you are Juice Bigelow, you should probably have more than that.
He was in Chip Chiller.
Oh,
he played Chum Chum Chiller.
Oh yeah.
In 2018, he had a role in Madden NFL 19.
Okay.
Where he played Donnie Marks.
That's lovely.
Okay. And he was also in A Fork in the Tail, another video game. Oh. He was on The Masked Singer.
Oh, yeah.
He was in the TV show Real Rob. Hot in Cleveland.
Yeah, these aren't.
The Andy Milonakis show. Yeah,
it's
but
making
I mean,
me sadder.
Yeah, his life's wretched, dude.
Yeah.
Because he never, the funny thing about Rob Schneider is that he never achieved greatness.
Mm.
There was like maybe a period of time in like the mid-2000s where
people
were
like.
Well,
I guess what do you mean by greatness?
Mm.
Like, I think there was, so Adam Sandler made a lot of goofy movies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which are like, they were movies, you know, at the time when Adam Sandler was like at his, you know, on the way to his peak, everybody was like, he makes movies for like 14-year-old boys. But then.
Mm.
Somehow they cemented themselves.
Not just that, it's like, Adam Sandler, first off, yes, he's making these movies that are like, people are like, what are they making these films for?
Yeah.
And like, they're kind of trash, but he's like, yeah, I get to travel around the world with like my good friends and it's a fun time. And then he also then just like does Punch Drunk Love. He also does, you know, Uncut Gems. And it's like, wow, this guy, he's funny people. It's like, he's a really, when he wants to be,
he's a good
an
actor.
Incredible actor. It's crazy to see.
And also, you
but then
go,
he's like, but he's figured it out. He's like, I could just shit out these terrible films for Netflix, and I get paid to go on vacation with my family and friends.
And also, I think you know, you look back at some of those old Adam Sandler movies, and you go, "This is stupid, but it is funny."
Yeah.
Whereas Rob Schneider, he did like what? Deuce Bigelow, The Animal. Uh-huh.
Hot chick,
and it was like, okay, maybe Rob Schneider is like the new Adam Sandler
because he was, you know, bit parts in a lot of Adam Sandler's films.
Yeah,
and you're like, oh, cool. Where's maybe he's going somewhere with this? But like, he never did a. Did he ever do like a serious turn?
No. But also, even his stupid movies were not.
He plays the Asian minister, and I Now Pronounce You Chuck on Larry. Yeah. That's pretty serious.
He is a man who has played 1 million ethnicities.
Yes.
So you got to give him power for that.
He plays Stan in Big Stan.
Yeah, that's right.
That's where he goes to prison and I think gets sexually assaulted, and that's the joke.
I believe so. Or he learned. No, that's actually a kung fu movie, would you believe it or not?
Okay.
But yeah,
Big Stan, it's a prison.
No, yeah, but he learns kung fu to defeat the people that are going to try and sexually assault him in prison. And I think, and the you know, when was the next Rob Schneider? He was in Top Cat, the movie. He kind of never quite.
No, I get what you mean.
You know?
Like there was that like that moment where you're like, oh, he's in like a bunch of these like you know, stupid goofball comedies, and that was when those stupid goofball comedies was making decent coin, or at least you know that the potential to make decent coin. And like like The Animal had the leading actress, I believe, was one of the contestants from the like Survivor.
Yes, I think you're right. Yeah.
And so and then he was doing like I guess like the talk show circuits and all those kind of shit like that and all the promotion. But then it's when you have something like Adam, like someone like Adam Sandler who's like can do a decent move, like a decent movie where he's like, you know, acting his little heart out and being like, oh no, he's got some chops there. Like there's a reason why we'll go and give him like see the next film. And then Rob Schneider just kind of went crazy.
Well, Rob Schneider just also just doesn't. I would say it doesn't really have star power, but Adam Sandler.
Like you look at it, even some of like the stuff on SNL that he, you know, it's like it's like he's part of that whole ensemble, and you're like,
But that's also like I know that a lot of people broke out of that SNL time.
Yeah,
but that's like those were some pretty dark times for SNL.
Yeah. Adam Sandler, from what I understand, was he was good, but you know,
it was a rough Adam Sandler period. Rob Schneider.
Was it Chris Farley? Adam Spade? Not Adam Spade.
David Spade.
David
Spade's another Rob Schneider, really.
Yeah.
David Spade.
He had TV, though.
Yeah, that's true.
He was in Just Shoot Me.
Yeah, that's a good point, dude. That's a good point.
But yeah, Chris Farley and Norm Macdonald are around at the same time, but I think that, like, they both don't get... I mean, Norm does get used properly, but Chris Farley is used in the same thing over and over to the point where he pretty much kills him.
Yeah.
Well, at least Rob Schneider got to be Norm in Norm of the North.
Hey, that's a great point, dude.
Yeah, man.
That's a great point.
Which was widely considered maybe the worst animated film to get a theatrical release ever.
Oh, wow. That's a lot of competition.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy that David Spade got to be the lead in a Disney movie.
Oh, like a...
Yeah, in Emperor's New Groove. Like, that's pretty crazy to think about, that David Spade was at one point in his career Disney movie protagonist level.
Yeah.
Like, that never happened to Adam Sandler. Anyway, I just think that's interesting.
It's kind of like, you know, that interesting voice where you can kind of play that Weasley King and Weasley Llama.
Yeah. Whoa, there was a Joe Dirt too. Look.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's crazy. I'll Be Home for Christmas, an incredible movie.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. Mm-hmm. I still think it's great on a rewatch.
Yeah.
It's very entertaining for me.
Yeah.
I think everybody should, you should put it in your fucking roster, okay?
Yeah.
For this Christmas
season.
For
your Christmas, like, you know, what should we watch?
Yeah, what do we chuck on?
Let's chuck it on.
So please do that. But now let's jump to the BS Boys Pod @gmail.com inbox, where people have sent us emails. You can send us emails. You can also support Baseless Speculation by signing up to Baseless Speculation Plus.
Yeah.
If you're listening on Apple, it's just a button, but otherwise you can go to samspenceradio.com. The link will be there. Ad-free episodes.
The occasional bonus episode. Lies to his good friends about watching.
Yeah. And also the main fucking thing is you'd be supporting us and helping us continue to make episodes.
For the price for a small cup of coffee.
It's a nice thing to do. Just want to, hey, it's a fucking silly season. Get silly.
Yeah, so silly with it.
This email is from Riley. They say, hello, Baseless Boys. I'm a year 12 chemistry teacher from WA. And my God, you guys got so close with the soap and detergent talk.
Yes.
They say last week, but it was a couple of weeks ago at this point. JD was right. Happy to hear that. The soap / detergent molecules find the oil / stain and bond to it. There's a lot of chemistry going on here, but it's more or less about which end of the soap likes or hates water. The step you missed that Zammit got stuck on was the agitation. You gotta rub your hands, boys. Agitation causes the oil / stain to separate from the fabric / skin / surface, meaning it can be drained with the water. Enzymes aren't necessary for this. They allow the reaction to occur at lower temperatures, improving efficiency and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Well done, you smart, dumb idiots. You figured out soaps faster than most year 12s.
Okay.
Keep being wrong, Riley.
What is dry cleaning?
I can't answer.
Why is it dry cleaning?
What are they doing in there? What makes a difference in wet and cleaning?
What are they doing?
Yeah.
Aren't they pretty much steam cleaning it?
I don't know.
Yeah, isn't it?
It's just steam?
Yeah.
That's it?
Well, I mean, there would be detergent and stuff in the steam.
But then
it's not being agitated in the same way.
And there's no wetness to it.
Steam is wet.
Yeah, steam
is damp. It's called dry because they're not putting it in like a fucking washing machine.
Okay.
The process of cleaning a garment with an organic solvent without using water.
No, that's not dry cleaning.
That's what happens when I search dry cleaning on fucking Wikipedia.
So what's the difference between dry cleaning and wet cleaning? We're just not using water?
I guess.
We're using steam.
The problem is when I search dry... Oh, here we go. How Stuff Works.
Oh, thank you, How Stuff Works.
When I search dry cleaning, it's just like, oh, do you want to dry clean something? I'm like, No.
I'm just curious.
The term dry cleaning is a little misleading in that it isn't actually dry. Instead, it means that instead of using soap and water, dry cleaning employs chemical solvents that remove dirt and grease and eliminate stains. One of the earliest solvents used was kerosene, which had the downside of being flammable.
There's a downside of it, yes.
Once the clothes are cleaned with the solvent, the chemical itself is extracted and reused, and the clothes are pressed to eliminate wrinkling. The clothes are washed in this solvent, and then the solvent is recovered in an extractor so it can be reused.
Okay, so I guess they use a machine.
They use a machine, and they put in a solvent.
Mm-hmm. So not steam.
That is unlike not steam.
Not steam,
steam cleaning. I was wrong.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
But, like, you can steam clean a jacket, so I thought that that's...
Yeah, anyway. I thought some steam shit was going on too, dude.
I've seen steam shit happening, but
press,
that's not...
Like, when you press it, like, ideally steam would make it like an
wash
iron.
Wash it with a thing that the solvent evaporates way faster than water, so it's never really wet.
Okay. Huh. Why is it better? Is it more delicate, I guess?
Yeah,
okay. Very interesting.
Why don't we use that in our day-to-day lives? Or is it more expensive?
Yeah.
Okay.
It'll be, yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe you'd like
also, it, on, yeah. isn't it, I mean...
It's real bad for the environment.
There would be poison gases involved, too, I reckon.
Yeah.
I mean, heaps of this kerosene.
Because if the solvent evaporates, it's turning into a gas.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess you'd want to wear a mask.
Isn't it also a thing where dry cleaning, it's like, it's going to clean your delicates... But without damaging them, but it will make the clothing weaker overall. That's a thing I heard about dry cleaning.
You're taking shots at dry cleaners.
Yeah, dude, come for me, dry cleaners.
Dude,
yeah.
That's a big mistake.
I'm starting a beef with the dry cleaning industry, dude.
Hey, dry cleaners, a lot of, well, not a lot of the time, but they are a common front, so good luck.
Come for me. Kill me dead.
Jackson's war on crime.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
But thank you very much for helping us learn soap.
Mm.
We appreciate that. This next email is from Dave Bourne. Hey, BS.
I was born too, Dave.
Whoa, you were born to Dave.
Yeah.
Born to Dave, to die.
Forced to shit.
Yeah. So the topic of this email is, I tried showing my friends Sans Pants.
Big mistake.
Don't do that.
Hey, BS boys, in your Sinners episode, you begged us to show our friends Sans Pants podcasts.
Please do that.
Please,
I take it back.
Please show your friends Sans Pants, and don't worry about what happens in this email. Just still do it. So you guys don't crash and burn as a company and starve to death. Paraphrasing. I'm here to tell you that I've tried to do this through clips, through the brilliant Sans Pants animations on your channel, shout out DJ Hennessy, and through trapping them in my car and playing Thumb Cramps. The most I've gotten out of it is an uncomfortable chuckle. I think Sans Pants can't be shown to people. People instead need to find it in the wild and get hooked on it like I did. Maybe you should be buying ads on buses and trains, or just hide speakers around major cities playing podcasts on loop and see what degenerates you catch. Yours in brain damage, Dave Bourne. I think we should take ad space on buses. I think
on
that's a good idea.
I think bus is good.
I think we find out, we'll be like, hey, can we just run this ad just on Nick Mason's tram?
Yeah, that's a great idea, dude.
Don't worry about his podcast. Listen to Baseless Speculation.
Is that what the ad says?
Yeah, and people were like, who's he?
What are you talking about?
What's Baseless Speculation? This ad has not done its job
at all.
Maybe
you say, don't worry about his podcast, and you get a photo of Nick Mason so that when they get on the tram and see Nick Mason's driving it, they go, what?
Huh? What if we say, don't worry about his podcast, and we'll have a picture of like Joe Rogan
or
Rob Schneider.
That's a great idea.
Listen
to Baseless Speculation instead. And then a photo of our face.
Yeah.
Maybe on a tram, Thomas the Tank Engine.
Getting lost in the weeds a little bit there, Jack.
We go, maybe, what about this podcast?
What if I just steal a plane?
Okay.
And then everyone's going to listen to Sans Pants, or who knows what will happen. And then I'll just crash the plane in a field like that guy.
Yeah.
He didn't survive.
It doesn't matter. It's a self-sacrifice.
Thanks,
beautiful.
It'll still get people to listen to the podcast.
What's
his name? What do they call him? The Sky Captain of Tomorrow or some shit.
I think so.
I think that's a movie.
Yeah, I think taking people hostage is probably the best way to get new listeners. I think that's really smart. Yeah. I think that's a really good way to do it. You know?
Why are you shaking your head, Joel Zabin?
Yeah. I was just thinking of something else.
Thank God.
Fair enough. Yeah. That's good to know. Well, if you've got any emails you'd like to send us, please, bsboyspod@gmail.com. And if you want to support us, sign up to Baseless Speculation Plus. We'd appreciate it.
You won't regret it.
You won't regret it.
You don't even need to write the emails. You got an email someone sent you and you're sick of looking at
it. You need me to become a sort of go between.
Yeah.
Maybe you run a successful business and you don't have a secretary.
Yeah.
You can just forward every email to me.
Yep.
And then I'll figure out which one to report it to send on to you.
Yeah. Every episode of BS will be waiting there, bated breath. Like, I hope he answers those emails I sent because it's been a couple of weeks now.
I need to know what's happening with the Johnson account. People are getting antsy. They say, what happened to that? And you go, I'm listening. Give me a second.
Yeah.
I'm going to get to the end after they review the movie. Okay.
Oh, no. This was filmed in the December 31st,
2028.
I forgot about that. But they've moved Christmas Day, and Christmas Day is the 31st of December now.
Shit.
That was really important.
Yeah. So please do that.
Yes.
And on that note, I've been Jackson Bailey.
I've been Joel Zammit.
And I've been Joel Duscher, and this has been another episode of Baseless Speculation, and we will have been the BS Boys, and Jackson's present this Christmas is going to be a kick in the head if he keeps burping into the microphone.
Join us next week for another Based Rewind to a Christmas classic. Goodbye.
Maybe this one will be good. Goodbye.
Yeah. See ya.
Why are you like that?
It's because I'm drinking this really old Sprite.
Why are you doing that?
Waste not, want not.